everyone, and welcome to
Let's Clear the Air
with Jess and Kaylee. We are so, so excited to be bringing you this weekly podcast talking everything from mind, stories, relationships, families, and everything in between. We really, really are so excited to be bringing you this every week, and we hope you are too.
Jorgen?
Jorgen? Okay, hello.
Oh, look at this, we're back.
We're back. Honestly, guys, I don't know what episode this will come out for you guys, but me and Jess are basically recording quite a few episodes because we're trying to figure out our flow, how the podcast is going to work for us, and I suppose, what would you call it? I suppose it sounds easy, doesn't it, when you think you're going to come on and chat, but actually the structure in that, it takes a while to figure out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like you've got to get it. It's the flow, isn't it? And we're kind of finding that. But I feel like with us, because we're so open and chat about things that have kind of happened in our week, which most people have something happening in their week, it becomes quite easy.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what I'd love to describe right now is I've got a blanket completely over me, but Jess is trying, but she's just got like half a blanket over her head.
I've been told the sound is better under a blanket, but I can't quite get it over me fully, so half in, half out. This is fine.
Yeah, honestly, I said to you, I put on Instagram a picture of me and Jess recording the podcast, and so many soundies that I'd worked with previously messaged me and was like, thank Christ, stuff like that. So I was quite pleased with us, actually. I thought,
trying to live up to expectations here with half a blanket.
Yeah, well, whilst we're doing that, it takes us half an hour to be able to record our speaking over our theme tune.
Technology, man.
Honestly, technology, it's just not the one. The minute you can get back into a studio and chill and not worry about things will be a good time. Okay, so how's your couple of days been? I mean, we spoke a couple of days ago, so they've been good.
Yeah, much better, because I think I was talking last week about boundaries and kind of people pleasing. And you actually asked me at the end of one of the last episodes, saying how do you change that? What do you do? And it's about being brave. Mm. And I have been, and this week I've kind of really done that and set my boundaries with people.
Yeah.
And said, actually, that's not making me happy. So I'm not going to, people please you at my own detriment. This isn't working for me. And actually, we always make it more of a scary thing than it needs to be, because most people that are decent human beings will turn around and say, actually, I'm sorry about that. Let's do it a different way, or let's talk about it so we can come to an understanding. And you realise that things become so much more healthier in all relationships, like we said, whether it be romantic, friendships, family, whatever, workplace, if you can just communicate. Communication is so important. And my life's already, in 2 days, got hell a lot easier.
Yeah. Do you know what though? I will say that I completely, completely agree with you. Communication is the best. But I don't know about you, but when I get stressed, communication goes out the door. Even with the smallest things. So I've got a perfect example. The end of last year, I had spoken to a friend and we were going to go on a double date dinner. And I'd kind of ish told Kieran about the dinner. I was like, so Tuesday we're going to go out for dinner. And he was like, yeah, great, sounds good. So he's just in joggers and a t-shirt. And I remember we were driving there and it suddenly dawned on me that I hadn't told him who we were going to dinner with. I just kind of said, we're going to dinner, but I hadn't given him any information. He had no idea where we were going. And then suddenly in the car, I went, oh, by the way, we're going with these people. And he was like, what? And then he was like, I wouldn't have dressed like this. Oh, I look like crap. And just basic communication for me when I get stressed just flies out the window. Even what I'm up to. Do you ever struggle if you've had a long day, you've been filming, you've got meetings, you've got loads going on, you get home and someone's like, how was your day? And you're just like, yeah. It's back to that school thing, isn't it, where I just can't be bothered to list off my day. I don't know, maybe it's boundaries, maybe it's work's work and then home's home, but sometimes I just shut off. I'm like, oh, I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, I think when we're highly stressed or got a lot on, we have so much focus on that, and when we get home we just want to shut down, and that's our safe space. So to go into it again can be the challenging part, whereas you may have had a really good day or anything, but when it's so stressful and busy, when you're running from here to there, you just want to get home and go, like this, and relax. So I get that. But also, anything stressful with me is I do shut down, but at the same time, I'm kind of anything other than what I happen to deal with at that immediate moment, I can't at all focus. So yeah. Like if someone's bringing me more, whether it be drama or just information, when I've already got a brain load of stuff, it's very difficult to take on, and therefore communication does suffer. And I think it's about just, again, communication to tell that in the first place, that I've had a really hectic day, I just need to wind down, and this isn't me being rude or blah blah, let's just relax.
Yeah, I've got a really random story actually of like that. So I remember when I started training, so it was really strange. I did it for 2 years and it got scrapped afterwards. I think they realized that it just caused so many people almost like nervous breakdowns. But basically from 16 to 18, I did this thing where you did your Trinity diploma and you did like a 2-year intensive musical theatre course, but you also did free A-levels at the same time. So basically you'd go to school in the morning and then you'd get in like this mini like coach that had the branding on it. They take you down, you'd like train from midday to late. So you can imagine it was exhausting. And I lived quite far away as well. So I would literally leave my house at 6:30 in the morning and I'd get home at like 8 o'clock, like 8 p.m. And I'd do the same 5 days a week. Now it's quite grueling from like 16 to 18, and it was also a different college from where I went to school. And I remember I had a really, really close friend at school, like, you know, when it's one of those people where you think back to your life and there's like 6 months where you're just inseparable, like your whole life, sleepovers, messaging constantly, just completely inseparable. And I remember going to college, and it's just like I described, my communication falls apart. When I was so stressed, all I could focus on was getting my work done, getting that done, just surviving day to day, if I'm honest, like just getting through one day at a time. And I remember, don't get me wrong, it's a long time, it must have been 3 months. So I think I started in the September and this was the January. And she sent me a message just being like, you know, you've been a bit shit. And I was like, yeah, like fair play. Like, I'm really sorry. I've been like exactly what you said. I've been so stressed. I've been so like down under. And she got her new friends, because she went to a new college, to send me voice notes barking at me and calling me a dog.
Wow.
Like, that was the appropriate action that she thought. And the most hilarious part is that one of those friends who did it actually went to a ballet class once I finished training. So I'd see her and I was like, why did you send in a voice note of barking and calling me a dog? And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, what is wrong with, like, how is that a natural reaction to be sat in college and go, do you know what I think is a good idea? I'm going to bark like a dog, send a voice note over Facebook and tell this girl she's a dog.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this, I'm very much independent and always kind of doing things by myself. And I have friends that really fit into that. So yeah. I never really have any issues of friendships in that way, but there have been times in the past where that's, you know, we've seen things differently, because I'm like this free spirit that just does our own thing, and then my friends and I slop in with each other, whether it's been 6 months, 2 years, whatever, it never changes.
Yeah,
but you do get, you know, some people that don't understand that, and like I try to be like loving and caring to everyone, but when you have your own stresses, it's so difficult to do that, and I think other people need to be more understanding of that. It's not always about them. So I'm assuming, like, this other girl that got the barking to you, she's just so consumed by how that had, you know, affected her. There's no thought process for anyone else. It kind of makes it quite self-involved. And I think, you know, it's just, that also comes with immaturity, to be honest.
Definitely. But I think, this is something I definitely wanted to discuss on today's episode, is friendships. I think friendships are underrated in their discussion. I think friendships play a massive part in our lives. I also think sometimes, you know, like they say, we do crazy things in relationships, like, you know, cut up people's clothes if they cheat, you know, whatever that is. I also think, like I just described, people act crazy ways in friendships. Like, Jess, I honestly can't concentrate. You've got one arm out, like, just with one blanket just hanging over your
eyes. I look like I'm holding a tent up over my head. I'm sorry for the off-putting. I wish we could show people this.
Move the blanket over so I can see it, because your arm's going to ache through that episode. See how much
I've kind of got it left on my leg.
Are you sure?
Yes, I've got a leaning post.
You've got it sorted. No, I just think that people... Sorry, I went completely off subject then. But I think that people can act, you know... The amount of stories I've got of what's happened in friendships sometimes is crazier than relationships, you know?
I think this is one reason why I have a very tight-knit group. Like, I've had, you know, in the past, like years and years ago, I had a friend, and then I there was something that happened, I don't really know what, but I thought it was a very close friend, but completely and utterly backstabbed me with a few things. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Mm. I didn't want a ruckus or a fight or an art, you know, crosswords. I just cut them out. So from I think that just, as I said, it comes with maturity and growing up. You know who's good for your soul.
Yeah.
And my few friends that I have, like, I can count on one hand, I'm so comfortable with that because I'm comfortable with myself. I don't need people around me all the time. I'm comfortable with myself. I'm comfortable with who I am.
Mm.
I'm comfortable with the choices and decisions I make. I know I'm not hurting anyone else. And if I do, I'll first of all look at myself, and then I'll look at my boundaries. And if they think, you know, it's all relationships, whether it's friendships or any other type of relationship, they're complicated because we all have a different perspective of life. Like, one person's childhood is completely different to another's, so therefore we can look at the same thing and see completely different things.
Yeah.
You know, our minds see things so different, and how we've been brought up, what we've kind of grown up with, will affect the outcome of how everything looks. So I try and use that as the forefront of how I do my relationships, is that how I see something someone else might not. So I'll always try and kind of weigh that up, and if it is something that's actually hurting me, I'd probably end a friendship from that. And if it's something that I'm thinking, actually, you've been a bit wrong here, I would apologize wholeheartedly, because I always look at myself first. I think that's a healthy place to start. But when you realize it's a boundary being crossed or something, you need to pull away from it. But I also think, you know, in that case of just because you weren't being inseparable from this girl, it becomes, it's not your responsibility to make sure she's okay. She should be fine with or without you. Just the same as a relationship should be fine with or without them.
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's gut-wrenching. I think there's something about losing a friendship that is, it is like grief. You know, it's a kind of like a mild version of grief, or the same as a breakup in a relationship. It's kind of that time healing. I think that, you know, we've all been through it where something's happened, or someone's, even, you know, I remember as a child, I moved around a lot as a child. I moved around every pretty much 18 months to 2 years. We would completely, not even move house, like move area. And I think it's a struggle, because every time you make these really close friendships, and they just can't survive. You know, if you're moving country or you're moving thousands of miles away, you know, you can't have a super close relationship. And I've kind of suffered that loss, I think, throughout my childhood. You know, yeah.
I've had the same as you with that, where I moved a lot, moved schools all the time. But from that, I found there's one person from each part of my life where I've been here, there and everywhere that's stuck.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's the beauty of it, because you find the ones that have you and love you for you. Like I said, out of all of the places I moved, there's one person. I've got five friends, and they're all from different, they don't know each other, they only know each other through me.
Yeah.
But it's because of the moving around, and you get that one person that gets you, and you get them, and you build each other up. And I've never had with them lot a problem. There's never been you know, there's might have been just, you've been a bit of a dick today, and I'd be like, shit, I actually have, and I wholeheartedly apologize, or vice versa, you know. And I think finding these people, it weans out the people that don't, I mean, I don't think, let's be honest, would you really want to be friends with a girl that, because you were busy, starts getting people to bark at you? I mean, that is ludicrous.
It's I'd mad, like,
you know,
isn't
what?
It?
Thank God you're gone, you lunatic. Like,
yeah, it's
what
so
else
true.
Are you gonna do? If it got any closer, she's thrown plums at you in there. This is a lucky escape.
I love that. That's so relative to this country. I know, just knowing
imagine,
you that that's...
I know, that's why I said it. And, like, imagine if she has a relationship, like, and she behaves like that. Like,
yeah.
She needs to fix it.
Yeah.
When I see things like that, I don't get angry at someone. I think, you need some help, so I'm just going to remove myself, because I want you to eat, just not at my table. But if you don't fix how this is, this behaviour is, you're going to struggle with every relationship.
And
that's
not
your problem, that's theirs.
I think, touching on that point you just made as well, I think our generation's changed to really know and accept that. So, you know, I think for me personally, and for you, I can see somebody and I can assess that if something like that would happen to me now, I could tell that, like you just said, that it's something to do with them. It's how they're dealing with stuff. It's issues perhaps from their childhood, from relationships they've seen, that they maybe need to discuss these things, let them out, or they'll learn, grow up. It's just kind of immaturity, things like that. But I think when you're at that cusp age between kind of being a teenager and like a young adult, it's those things stay with you. Like, for example, that was the first thing I thought to say to you. I've not planned that, and that was 9 years ago, but it sticks with you. Anything that happens, I think, in that cusp, like that age, really affects you. And now I can totally look back at the girl and think, you know, I've sent her a couple of messages and kind of, you know, we've put it to bed. I think she's a nice girl. We live relatively close to each other. But at the time, that probably was the thing, you know, really affected me, because you take it so personally. What I think at that age, anything that anyone says to you, I keep seeing, I feel like I bring up TikTok every blooming episode we do, but I keep seeing these TikToks. It's like what people say versus what they mean. And it's so true. And I think it's the same with friendships. You know, you say like, it's, you know, if someone says to you, you're not messaging me enough, you're not, like, we're not speaking enough, you're not there for me, it's really them saying, I need you to be there for me, like, I'm going through a really rough patch. Like, do you know what I mean? A lot of what people kind of need or get kind of annoyed with is really reflecting on where they're at in their life. So yeah, I think it's really interesting, and I completely agree with what you're saying. I think that now, and I think with the type of people we are and what we've learned, you can see that. But I think at that age, friendships, it's hard because you take everything very personally. I mean, anything.
It's tricky because you don't, at that age, you don't understand, you haven't had the life experience to know that that is the case, that that's on them. So,
yeah.
For instance, I don't know, this might be the same for you. If I'm going through a tough time, and even when I was a kid, you know, in school, if I was going through a tough time, I would go silent, not talk about it, and I would retract, and I'd be very into myself. No one would hear from me. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, when it's really, things are really hitting the fan,
yeah,
I go really into myself and I don't talk to anyone. I won't even answer the phone to people. Like, yeah. that's what I get. Like, so, but as you get older, you understand and you have empathy. You learn empathy. You grow and you learn to understand other people's point of views. But at that age, you just don't know it. So, it can cause these little bitchy arguments, you know, the school ground arguments. Like my niece's age, she's 14, and sometimes she'll say, oh, this person did this, and I'm like, oh, what's going on in their home life?
Yeah.
And she'll say something like, oh, this person's had something wrong with her mum or her dad, and I'm like, okay, let's look at that, because she's not been horrible to you, but maybe show her a bit of kindness, because actually that's coming from a place of hurt.
Yeah.
Because hurt people, don't they?
Without
it's
a doubt.
Kind of one of those things.
I can still remember to this day, it haunts me. Well, not most days, but it still, even you saying that just triggered me then for a memory. I remember I was 7 years old, I was completely in love with this boy called Tiago. I'm telling you, me and him were in it for the long run, I'm telling you. 7 years old. And I remember we were going out, and I was quite badly bullied at the time, and there was this girl, she was like the leader of our pact, that's the only way I can describe it. It was kind of like a pact. I was the little English kid, all the rest were Portuguese, and she was the leader. And she basically told me that I had to break up with him because her best friend Andreas really fancied him. And I was like,
sounds like Mean Girls.
Do you know what, it really was, at age 7. And I was like, do you know what? Like, I this is shit, but like, I'm getting bullied. I've got to do it. So I did. I split up with Tiago. Then I'm telling you, lunch break, I walk past the stone bit, and there's Tiago and Andreas sat next to each other. They're going to get it on. I mean, when I say they're going to get it on, that they were 7. Like, he was just going to ask her out, you know? I was fuming and I was so upset. So I did the thing. I feel like this is a super, like, girl thing. I, like, walked past them looking very solemn. You know, looking like, how dare you do this to me?
I know what's going on here.
Yeah. And then, of course, Ines, being leader, a bit of a bully, pulled me aside and slapped me for it. Like, physically slapped me. And it haunts me to this day. Because, no, it went on for about 3 years. Like, I don't really talk about it ever, to be honest. Like, if I think about it, I've probably not even particularly ever talked about it to my parents or Kieran, but I was quite badly bullied for around 3 years with this kind of, like, mean girl group. And, like, all physical, mainly. Like, I remember my mum once asked me, I was in the bath and I had 11 bruises on one leg. And I remember her, like, counting them and being like, where have you got that from? And I was like, oh, I just, like, fell over. But no, I was quite badly bullied. And it's different abroad as well. People will listen to this and they'll hear me say that and they'll go, oh, whatever. But it really is, like, it's a different culture. And that haunts me to that day. Not because of that. It didn't bother me. Obviously, it's not good. But it wasn't the slap. But it was the idea that someone who I thought was my closest friend, you know, my closest allies, even if it was bullying behaviour, had gone and done that to me. And it honestly still stays with me almost 20 years on as kind of betrayal. It's funny, though, isn't it?
But it's all these childhood things. Like I said, you grow up with domestic violence, like I did in the house, or you grow up with any of these things. they will stay with you because your brain is developing so quick when you're young.
Yeah.
That you develop coping mechanisms. So anything as you grow older, if you don't address it, will just trigger back to the very first time you experienced it, because that was your brain trying to learn how to cope with it in the first place.
Yeah.
So it will go back to that until you address it. And I think any childhood trauma like that will always need addressing.
Yeah.
Whether you think, oh, I was just bullied as a kid. Like, it's not just that. It's left a pattern and a blueprint of that in your head, so you'll always kind of accidentally, unconsciously come back to it.
Yeah. I think for me it's meant that I've kept my circle incredibly small, like, you know, the same as you, like a handful of people, or, you know, yeah. And I think I do shut down, like you said. I won't I'm not reliant on my friends necessarily, if that makes sense. Like, I'm more the person that they'll come to. And and yeah, it's funny actually what you said earlier, when you said about your five friends being from different parts of your life, and I'm exactly the same. I always worry about, like, on my, like, 30th birthday, or like on an engagement party, that, like, no one would know each other. You know, like, some people have groups of friends, don't they, where they've all grown up together. And they're all kind of do everything together. And I always think it's same with, like, my birthday. It's such a mishmash of people, but I kind of love it, like, because they all know different parts of me. And I don't know if you ever felt like this, because I always felt like every school I went to, I was slightly different. It's like I took whatever I'd learned at the previous school, you know, and maybe, you know, one school I'd decide that I was going to be a bit more of an outsider. And if I wasn't feeling great, I'd go into the library at lunch, things like that. And then at another school, I was a bit more loud, you know, and I kind of was like, no, I'm going to stand out. And then at another, you know.
Yeah, you're not given your time to really develop who you are, I think,
no.
It's a constant movement and understand yourself, because every scenario you go in is going to be new experiences, so you're not really getting to fulfill a whole one. Like, this is what I said to my mum not long ago, and we was having a discussion about it. It was, you know, each time we've moved, I'm in a different kind of area, I'm in with different people, and I'm now having to restart who I am to fit in with them.
Yeah.
So, in fact, all my friends now, I've got all these different personalities, like, and it's not even because I'm being fake, it's just that each person brings out the different part of me. Like, there's one that's like my mental friend, and we'll be just absolutely like we're on Jackass or something.
Yeah.
And I've got another threat friend who will sit and talk like serious stuff to me, and I'm like, yeah, and we'll have a sit down almost politics chat and go into all that. But I wouldn't do that with other friends. And I feel like actually what that has done, if you take the positives out of these things, it's given us like a chameleon skin, so we can, I can literally, I don't know about you, can go into any scenario, whether I'm going to meet the Queen of England or I'm, you know, going to feed the homeless in a homeless shelter. I can literally go in any scenario and make friends with anyone, talk to anyone.
Yeah.
I think it's made you very adaptable. So some of these things we look at and we're like, oh yeah, it was difficult, but if we take the silver lining from it, we've got a great adaptability skill.
No, I completely agree. Like, I'm, you know, I have no fear of walking into a room. I mean, I'm socially inept. Like, I'm quite bad socially. Like, if I'm at a party, I just struggle with things. I think me and you are quite similar in the way that really we should be in London technically for our work and friendships, in a way, if that makes sense. So for creatives and for people that are very, for example, me and you, do you know what I mean? Like, we, in a way, should be in one place where a lot of people are the same. Whereas I know that both me and you live near family. We're more rural because we choose to be near family and have our own lives and be separated from our work, really. Now, with that, for me, comes with that I still live quite near people who I went to school with. Now, don't get me wrong, they're lovely people, but I am quite different to who they thought I was at school, if that makes sense. So, like, I did have a lot of coping mechanisms. I am probably a lot louder and different to what people think. So it means that the minute I ever go into a social situation with anyone who I went to school with, which, so for example, if the football's on, like Kieran's going to the pub with everyone we went to school with, and instantly the minute I walk into that pub, I'm back to 16-year-old me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's funny how, you know, I'm an adult now. I mean, I was thinking about this. It's mad to think if, I mean, they don't particularly do it now, really. But if they did a 10-year reunion of finishing school, that would be next year for me. And, it's funny that I mean, they say the same about parents, don't they? That the minute you're at your childhood home, you turn back into a kid, sort of thing. But I do struggle, like, and then I feel like sometimes I'm sat there miserable, fighting to kind of tell them who I am now. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's an anxiety thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, when you struggle with a bit of identity, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't like big crowds. I've always been like that, and I don't like, and I was diagnosed with PTSD years ago, so that's why I don't like big crowds, because that triggers me, because I'm sat there looking for any sort of danger. So if there's loads of people, I'm like, oh my god, there's danger everywhere. But because I know that I can work on it, and now I'm a bit like, for instance, back in the day, I couldn't go to a restaurant and focus on who I'm sat with, because I'd be looking around waiting for something bad to happen. I would know it before anyone else did, if something was going to kick off somewhere.
Yeah,
I just never felt safe. But again, that's a thing from domestic violence as a kid.
Mm.
But I feel like, you know, it's an identity thing. When you have got different things growing up, or a lot of movement, a lot of trauma, or, you know, struggling relationships, you do lose your own identity, because you go into survival mode.
Yeah.
And from survival mode, you're missing out on what normal, I would say normal, but, you know, families that have had, that they felt loved, they felt safe and secure, and they've been nurtured, like, properly. People that haven't had that really miss out on the development stage.
Yeah.
So therefore, we're always going to find it difficult. I'll always find it difficult going into a big crowd of people that I know maybe one or two people. I turn into a weirdo. I say the most peculiar things. Like, I'm like, why did that just come out of my mouth? And then it gets worse, because I then panic that I've said that.
Yeah.
I'll say something 10 times more stupid. I just want to go and sit and lock myself in the toilet, get out there as quickly as possible. But when you realise that that is how you're made, you also got to start forgiving yourself. Like, so what if I say something stupid? Like, I say something stupid daily.
Oh, I'm
like,
saying.
Without fail, something stupid come out of my mouth. And most of the time, people find it funny. And also, we overthink, because as a people pleaser, we worry what people are going to think of us. Well, actually, they're probably not thinking of us at all. You know, it's just our own insecurities. It's all from that missed out development stage where you've been in self-survival rather than developing like a healthy child. And I don't think it will ever change, but I think it also gives you a superpower, because you get this, you see things differently. You're able to look at people in an empathetic way, because you don't want someone to feel how you feel. You're able to notice things with people, their mood changes, and you're very good at self-protection, because that's what you've grown up doing, whereas something so minor might completely throw off someone that's had the most easiest of lives. But for us, if something minor happened, it's just whatever, because we've learned how to deal with that, because we've had to. So I think it's just, I go very deep with this, don't I?
No, it's great.
I just feel like, you know, that crucial bit of childhood development makes you see things different. So with friendships that are nasty, or with that kind of thing of bullying, you cope better. And even just being bullied at school and having a great family home, but you're bullied, that's still going to give you that resilience. So if we take anything as we get older, take all them wins, because, you know, it's almost a gift, because we've been taught at a young age how to deal with certain things, that now when problems do arise in adulthood, you've got the tools. So we're basically superwoman.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, that's why I wanted to bring this up today and talk about friendships and relationships, because I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners out there who are maybe struggling with something or feel like, where's the discussion around it, you know? And I think the important message that me and Jess, I think, well, Jess, I'm not speaking for you, but I think that you're saying during this is, for anyone who maybe you've sent a message to someone because you're a bit peed off with them, maybe you're not talking to somebody, maybe you feel like you are an outsider in your group of friends at the moment, you're misunderstood, you've kind of got constant imposter syndrome, you know, reflections are an amazing thing to kind of look back, sit back, you know, maybe think about, write a list of maybe why you're feeling that way, things that have happened maybe just before, maybe things that have happened in school or with family that are making you feel that way, and maybe taking that out on friendships. And I think that they're a blessing and a curse. And I think when you've got those true, amazing friendships, hold on to them tight, be there for one another. And I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you decide you want to have two friends for the rest of your life, then that's all you need. If you decide that you're someone who wants 25 friends and you see a different one every day, amazing for you. And I think it's a very personal thing, the people you choose to bring into your life. And I don't really quite believe in, it's going to sound really silly, but you know when people say about acquaintances, I don't really believe in them. And I know that sounds really, really silly, but I think that I think you either have kind of work colleagues, passers-by, or you do have friendships. I don't think they necessarily need to be that you're talking 24/7, but there's always kind of a base level of trust or understanding or knowledge of that your friendship maybe is more limited than other relationships in your life. So yeah, I hope that makes sense, and I hope that helps anybody maybe who's listening and is going for anything to do with friendships.
Yeah, and I just add on to that last bit. I just feel like the best way to see things and heal things is you think to yourself, can this be mended and do I want this in my life? The answer's yes, you make up.
Yeah.
The answer's no, because your boundaries are being tested and someone is actually being point blank bad to you, then you end the friendship. You've got to just think of the, can it be fixed or can't it? And then you take your choice. And that's I think, moves you forward quite easily.
And I think
without
it doesn't,
all the bickering and arguing.
Definitely. And I don't think it changes. I think it becomes less. But I think as you get older, you still have that. You can have examples of where friendships do have to end. You know, it's not just a school thing, it's not just that age thing. I think it's you know, I've lost friends recently or in the last couple of years. I'm sure you've been through things with people. So it's, you know, we both know that it's sometimes it can feel like you're back at school in situations, and other times, you know, nothing like that comes about for 5 years. So it is interesting. And weirdly enough, me and Jess seem to be on par that when we think of a subject to discuss, we've both kind of been through things relatively recently. So yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to touch on friendships today. But I have a couple of stories which I thought I'd pull out the bag.
Is it a poop one?
I love a poop story. Do you know what? I did actually write that I could have done a poop story today. But no, I've got a couple of different ones that I thought I'd share with you. I think it's really nice doing anecdotes of your week. And I think it's a nice thing to look back on and remember those stories, because you do forget, don't you?
Yeah.
So this is a really random one, but I had a dream, and you know those dreams where you cry? So I had a cry dream, I know, horrid, and I basically had a dream that me and Kieran were living where my mum was, and that he had paid a hooker called Uma to be with him 3 nights in a row for $2,000 a night. I mean, she was a beautiful looking lady. And I'd got back, and basically I found it on the laptop, and it was like this Uma woman. It was all the website around her, and I'd seen that he'd paid like for 3 nights to be with this woman. And I was so upset, and I don't know where it came from. I've tried to look it up online. I know. I've tried to look up like the dream meaning behind your boyfriend getting a hooker for 3 nights a week called Uma, but I can't find it if I'm honest.
That's funny.
So yeah, so that was my dream, and I woke up and I've never been so furious as to finding out that in a dream he'd and I was fuming. I was genuinely fuming at him.
You wake up mad, don't you?
I was so angry.
I was like, when we first got together, we're both together a month at this point, and I dreamt that he'd gone off with this girl, and I woke up and he put his arm around me, and I just literally grabbed his arm and chucked it off me.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And I was like, oh, wait a minute, it was a dream, I'm awfully sorry. And he's like, Jesus Christ.
I know, because suddenly your brain, you know when you watch a program, like, I don't know if you've just watched The Woman Across the Street from the Lady in the Window or whatever it's called. Great series, everyone should watch it. A great comic kind of retelling of a murder mystery. Yeah, it's very good. Of the stereotypes of kind of like a killer drama, it's very good. But in it, do you know what? I've lost my bloody point. No, I haven't. Okay, in it, you kind of follow Kristen Bell's kind of perception, or the character's perception of these people. So, for example, her next door neighbour, one minute he's kind of, you see him in her perception of being a love interest, then you see him as like a killer, and it's all through her brain. And I think that's what dreams do to you sometimes. When you wake up, I then go, yet your brain in a way has told you that there's a possibility he could cheat on you. You know, and it's that perception.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
How very dare you.
Exactly. And even though it's your mind doing a retelling of someone, you in a way believe that they could be capable of that. Anyway, drove me mental for the whole day. I was furious.
Bloody Uma.
What a. but yeah, that's it about. I don't have any more stories from the last 2 days since we last spoke, to be fair.
I have.
Go for it.
It's a quick one. I did a ghost hunt. On Monday night with the boys.
That is so cool.
In a haunted, like, antiques place, and it was so scary.
Was that?
And it wasn't as scary as the ones I've done before, which was a prison. That I was literally, I thought for about 4 days, I was possessed by the exorcist. I was terrified. Well, you don't get possessed by an exorcist, do you? You get possessed by the devil. But yeah, that one terrified me. But that night, we went to sleep, so the boyfriend came and he did it with me. And I was in. Oh my God, I was terrified. I was in bed when we got back to the hotel after the ghost hunt, and I woke up in the middle of the night in a cold room in the hottest sweat. Like, my back was dripping, my hair got wet, so it went curly, obviously. And he was like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't know, I don't even know what I dreamt. I'm just woken up, like, freaking out. So I went back to sleep. 2 hours later, he wakes up, but he wasn't awake. He was dreaming, going, oh, like this. And I was like, it's okay. Like, grabbed his head and just, like, stroked his head, saying, we're safe, we're here.
Yeah.
Both of us had this major freak out. So then I was like, oh, great, I need an exorcist, because I'm pretty sure we've both been possessed. Anyway, it turns out I woke up in the morning, we were fine, so no need to call the church or anything. But was a pretty weird thing to happen after we were just on a ghost hunt. But it's, again, your perception in your brain that messes with it.
That's amazing. That is insane. That sounds so much fun, though. Was that near you?
Shan't do it again too soon. No, it was in Hinckley, like up north. Well, really for me, that's cool. Up north, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I did Shepton Mallet Prison last year.
Yeah, I did that a couple of years ago.
If I do it again, they film it, it's really scary. That one scared the living daylights out of me. That was the scariest. I cried about 3 times.
Should we do it again together?
Yes.
Should we do it as like a double date night thing?
Oh my God, yeah, let's do it.
That'd be really fun. We'll plan that away from the podcast.
It's not fun remotely. It's traumatizing and scares you for about 3 weeks. But hey, you know, experiences and all that. We've got to experience everything.
Should we bring our mics? See how we get on.
Yeah, do a podcast whilst there.
Yeah. Well, my love, it has been a pleasure as always.
That is all for this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
And we'd like to say a special thank you to Audio Boom for distributing the series, Raspberry Films for producing the series, and Dan Popple for our lovely, lovely theme tune. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Can't wait to speak to you next week.